you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. I give honor to the McCoy family. Pastor McCoy, thank you so much for your leadership here. I can tell that you love people and you're not afraid to preach truth. Aren't you thankful for a pastor that tells you what the Bible says? It's kind of rare nowadays. I feel like preachers preach a comfortable message and not a convicting message. They want to tickle your ears. They want you to feel good. But I'm so thankful there's a man of God that stands up here and says, this is what you have to do to make heaven your home. And that's what it's all about. I'm not up here to preach some cute message, but I do believe I've heard from the Lord for this church. 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse number 8. And it reads, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? He said, we have a snitch among us. Somebody keeps telling him our plans. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bed chamber. We serve a God who sees in secret. He sees the private places of your life. And he sees the struggles that you face on a daily basis. And it is not hid from him, but he sees the places that you are battling even in this season in your life. He knows all things and he sees all things. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots, a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. They were given it all they got. His servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. There was a moment of fear in this young man. Then there was a word spoken. And then there was divine revelation given. The Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. I've come to preach a simple message to one of the greatest churches that I've seen, the Experience Church. I want to preach an eye-opening moment. An eye-opening moment. If you have your Bibles, can you lay it down? And we're going to say a quick word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now. We thank you for the privilege to be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what we've already felt in this service, God. We know, Lord, that this is a divine moment that you've orchestrated for us to be here today, Lord. This isn't by accident. This isn't by happenstance, but you've divinely orchestrated us to be here for this particular moment. And so we're not going to take it lightly. We won't take it for granted, but we believe that you're going to do something miraculous in this moment. We believe that chains are going to fall, that eyes will be opened, that lives will be restored here this morning. And we give you all the praise and the glory that you're so worthy of. We give it to you even now. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. The Spirit of the Lord is moving even right now in this place. I don't want to miss a moment. Every hand raised, every eye closed right now. Lord, we bind everything that's not of you right now. We take authority over every spirit of fear, anxiety, depression. Lord, we bind it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has no place here. God, we believe your word is yea and amen. You said you would never leave us. You said you would never forsake us. You would never give us more than we can bear. But with every test and trial, you will make a way of escape. We won't be afraid. We won't be fearful. We stand in faith and declare the promise of your word. Seated in the presence of the Lord. This young servant was serving the man of God. It does not give a description of what his responsibilities were, but it just says he was serving the man of God, Elisha. And the way that I look at this story, and maybe I think a little too creatively, but I imagine him going out early in the morning. Maybe he's fetching some water from the well. He's going out. He's like, I'm ready to fulfill my responsibilities to the man of God. This is what has been laid on my shoulders, and I will do whatever I need to do to service the man of God. So he goes about this responsibility, and he goes out to the well, gets some water. He's saying, man, this is going to be a good day in the Lord. I'm so glad I can be in the house of the Lord. So thankful I can serve the Lord. He's going about his responsibilities. And as he's walking back to the place where they were staying, his eye begins to wander and he begins to look around at the hills, look around at the mountains, and he sees a huge, massive Syrian army. And it does not give the exact number, but it says there was horses and chariots. And obviously the enemy was throwing everything it could at Elisha, the man of God. So he's looking at all of this impossible situation. And he begins to take out his calculator and begin to add up exactly what the odds were in their favor. And it consists of him, Elisha, and that's it. Him, Elisha, and that's it. He begins to look around and begin to number the Syrian army. Finally, he gives up and says, there's too many to count. He drops what he's doing. He runs to the man of God and he simply says, what are we going to do? Not a very complex question. And sometimes I feel like the simplest questions are the ones worth asking. What are we going to do? This looks like an impossible situation that we're currently in. The odds are stacked up against us and they don't look pretty. What are we going to do, man of God? This man of God looks at this fearful servant and he simply says, fear not. This servant was probably thinking in his mind, man of God, if you only saw what I could see, you wouldn't simply say, fear not. You would say, oh, I'm afraid right now. I'm fearful right now. But no. The man of God said, fear not. But not only that, he gives a word prophetically and he says, there are more for us than are for them. And the problem in this story is that this servant was looking through his physical eye, what he could see with his naked eye. He could see the situation. But I've come to tell somebody on a Sunday morning that if you will take off the scales from your eyes and you will see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train will fill the temple, and there are more that be with us than that be with them. I've come to prophesy to the experienced church. It's time for revival. It's time for the prophetic. It's time for signs and wonders.
The man of God simply spoke a faith word into this young servant. Fear not, for there are more that be with us than that be with them. And the Bible goes on to tell us that Elisha, this great man of God, it said, he prayed. He prayed. It wasn't a long prayer. It was just a simple prayer. And he said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. Lord, just let him see what I can see. Lord, just let him hear what I can hear. Let him see what the odds really are. Let him see the host of angels encamped around about us. And put into his mind's eye that there are more that be with us than that be with them. I've come to preach into the heart of the experienced church. I know you have so many questions. You've had so many questions at the very beginning of 2025. The questions are having questions. They're surrounding you on every side. When you look to your right, you see a financial problem. When you look to your left, you see a family problem. When you look behind you, you notice that your past is creeping up. When you look straight ahead, you realize that you are dead set in the middle of trouble. But I've simply come with a word that was sung about by the worship team today. It was talking about faith over fear. I've simply come to say to the experienced church, fear not. Do not be afraid. David would say it like this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I will not be afraid. I won't be fearful. I won't back down. I won't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. David would say it like this. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. I've come to prophesy. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. The Lord of hosts will go before you, and he will prepare the way before you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. This young man came with a question. There are many questions in the Bible. There's a total of 3,294 questions. And you thought you had a lot of questions this morning. There's a lot of questions in the Bible. But there's also a whole lot of answers. I think the greatest question, and maybe you're here today with this on your mind, how do I make heaven my home? Preacher, this is a cute message you're preaching today. But how can I walk on streets of gold? How can I see those pearly gates? How can I see Jesus? That's a very good question. Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, 38 would say, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I feel this in the spirit right now. The words afar off are ringing in someone's mind right now. You're saying, preacher, you don't know how afar off my family is. You don't see how afar off my kids are. But the Bible doesn't say if they're addicted to drugs, it's impossible. It doesn't say if they're addicted to nicotine, it's impossible. It simply said, all that are afar off, it doesn't matter how far they are, the hand of God can reach further than any addiction. The hand of God can reach further than any bondage. That all that are afar off, if the Lord calls them, then they're gonna be saved. If the Lord reaches, he's gonna pull them out of the miry clay. All that are afar off, preacher, you don't see my kid in the current condition they're in. All that are afar off, you don't hear my backslidden kid on the phone last night and they were drunk. It simply says, all that are afar off. Remember a man in our church, you can be seated, the presence of the Lord. I remember a man coming to our church on a Sunday. His mom is over 80 years old, And she had prayed for so many years for her young boy to be saved. And she didn't attend our church at that time. I believe it was about 2 years ago, Pastor McCoy. I remember he came in, and he was drunk, obviously. You could tell when someone's drunk. He'd come walking in the back. We were having worship service. And he comes and stands at the altar, and you could tell this man was drunk. And you could really tell when you got up close and started smelling him. You could tell he had had one too many drinks. And he's a little over 40 years old. Remember, he came and stood at the front, the worship service, and he just lifted his hands. Tears were coming down his face. We said, okay, I think it's probably safe to go pray for him now. I think we're safe. So we walked over to him, began to pray for him. Before long, not too long, he started speaking in other tongues, Pastor McCoy. And I thought to myself, if God could fill somebody with the Holy Ghost that's drunk, then there's nothing too hard for the Lord. I've come to tell you there's no obstacle too great that God can't make a way. There's no child too far gone that God can't tug on their heart one more time. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Jeremiah 32:27 would say, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I've come to ask the question to this church. Show me one thing that's impossible. Show me one thing that's too hard for the Lord. Go ahead and show me. I know God can do anything. If he ever parted one Red Sea, then God can make a way in your situation. If he ever opened one blind eye, then he can take the scales off your eyes. Every hand raised right now, let that be your prayer. Lord, open my eyes right now to see you in the midst of the situation. God, I pray you would give me clarity right now in the midst of this crisis. Lord, I pray that you would take off the scales from my eyes, that I will see your handiwork in every situation. I would see you in my children's lives. I would see you in my bank account. I would see you in my church. I would see you everywhere I go. Take the scales off my eyes. You can be seated. I remember one preacher, was listening to him one time, and he said, all a question mark is an exclamation point bent out of shape. Sometimes our perspective gets distorted, and we start to question the promises of the Lord. But the Bible would tell us that the promises of the Lord are yea, and they are amen. And whatever God has promised, he is faithful to perform it. So whatever promise the Lord has given into your spirit, can I just remind somebody at the Experience Church that he will perform it. Pastor McCoy, if the Lord promised you that this place was going to be filled, then I'll stand here with my voice lifted and say, it is going to happen at the Experience Church. Lord, let it happen here as it is in heaven. Draw the backsliders. Draw those who are addicted. Draw those who are in bondage. We will not be afraid. We will not be fearful. No matter what the enemy throws at us, we will not fear. David, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. David faced a giant-sized question. Remember in the valley where the giant Goliath was? And everybody else was hiding behind the barriers. They were fearful. They were afraid. They said, look at this impossible situation that we're in. It looks too difficult for us. And the Bible says all these mighty men of war were hiding behind the barriers, fearful to go and fight this giant Goliath. And David, just a kid full of faith, took into his slingshot a stone, began to wind it up, and he released that stone and knocked down the biggest question mark in their minds. This tells me right out of the gate that if you release something, something will be rewarded to you. If you release faith in this place today, miracles could happen. If you release praise, His presence will fill this room. If you release your worship, your worry will walk out of the room. I'm here to tell you, if you begin to release something in the Spirit, something is going to be rewarded to you. Some chains are going to fall off of your life. Some bondages are going to be broken. And you could see a miraculous moment in this place if you just decide, I'm not going to have church as usual. I came here with one thing in mind. I'm going to experience a move of God. The Bible says when he released it and knocked down the biggest question mark in their minds, that it released his brothers from behind where they were hiding. It released his family to experience the victory. What are you holding in your possession that is crippling your family from experience a breakthrough? What are you holding this morning that's prohibiting your family from experiencing a powerful move of God in their lives? I've come to tell you today, I'm not holding back nothing. Every time I walk into this house, I say, Lord, you can have my worship. You can have my praise. You can have my faith. I want to see you in this moment. Psalms chapter 8 and verse number 1 would say, this is David, he would write, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now, to a lot of you here today that are still awake, if you could give me a wave today, that kind of sounds like a question. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name? How excellent? What measure can you put on it? And David said, no. Not after what I experienced in that valley knocking down the giant Goliath. No, he said, I'm not going to put a question mark there. I'm going to put an emphatic statement, and I'm going to declare to anybody who would hear, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Show me one problem that God can't solve. Show me one water that he can't part. Show me one cripple that he can't raise up. Show me one impossibility, and I'll show you a God that's strong and mighty. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You can be seated. Just like a lot of times, the preacher repeats himself a lot. David took this into account when he was writing this chapter. He said, if you're still reading this chapter, in verse number 9, he would declare it again. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In praying, Pastor McCoy, I probably went too long, apologize. We're praying for this service. The only two words that kept pounding into my mind was the simple words that the man of God spoke into the servant, which was simply, fear not. Fear not. What I felt in prayer this morning is that a lot of you have fear about your family. And it looks impossible from your physical eye. From what you see, the odds look stacked up against them. It looks impossible that they could ever make their way into the experienced church and to an altar. But I hear the words from the man of God that are echoed in my soul today. Fear not. It's interesting the progression of this passage, Pastor McCoy. It starts with a question. What are we going to do? The man of God responds with an answer, fear not. But then the third component to this story is a moment of divine revelation. The man of God would simply bow his head and say a word of prayer. Say, Lord, open this young man's eyes. It was questions and it was answers, but then it was summarized with a revelation from the Lord. You came in here with so many questions, and I've given you the answer to your questions, but there's a moment going to happen right now where the Spirit of the Lord is going to give you a divine revelation. I've come to tell you, if you're hungry for a divine move of God, today is your moment. Right now, you can experience a divine revelation from the Spirit of the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If you're hungry, you ought to take a step of faith out of your pew right now and say, Lord, take the scales off my eyes. I'm tired of seeing things through my physical eye. Just like David released that stone, you ought to release yourself into this altar right now and say, Lord, I'm ready for those scales to come off. I've seen the situation through my sight long enough. Give me your eyes. Give me your bird's eye view of what's happening in this circumstance. Mark chapter 10, the story of blind Bartimaeus. He would hear of Jesus passing by, and he would simply lift his voice, and he would say, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Let me see. Let me see. Come on, if you're hungry, the Spirit of the Lord is here right now. Those scales from your eyes are going to fall off right now. Somebody lift your hands, lift your voice, and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit moves in this place.